Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, and always respectfully, of course, and with an emphasis where appropriate on the local issues related to climate and environment in general. Of course, climate change is a global issue, but it's said that all politics is local, and what we do here in Pierce County, as well as what other folks do in all their other local jurisdictions, makes a difference in terms of where we're headed with the climate. So who we elect to public office is an important part of how we get to where we need to be regarding climate. So in that regard, today we're talking with Jason Whalen. He's the Republican candidate for Pierce County Council, District 6 in the coming election. And my primary goal is to get some perspective on his views on environment in general and climate change in particular as it impacts us right here in Pierce County. So let's listen in and I'll talk to you on the other end. I'm very happy to have Jason Whalen with us today. Jason's running for Pierce County Council in District 6. He's a Republican and just looking forward to getting to know more about Jason and more about his thoughts on the position. And in particular, of course, since this is Climate Talk, we're going to be talking about environmental things and climate related things too. So Jason, thanks for joining us. Great to have you on the program today.
Thank you for inviting me, John.
Okay, well, let's jump right in. You are running for Pierce County Council, and we are an environmental program. So could we just start off by getting some of your thoughts about what is of concern to you environmentally in Pierce County? And I imagine that you're not going to have concerns without having some kind of solution to bring to the table.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that all of us who live here in the South Puget Sound, in Washington State in particular, appreciate and value our clean air, our clean water, and our vibrant, livable spaces in the South Sound. My family's been fortunate enough to live on one of the lakes in Lakewood, and we very much appreciate our watersheds and our clean water. And so as a policymaker, and certainly as a community leader here in Lakewood, we are concerned about the environmental issues facing not just Lakewood, but all of Pierce County and Washington State, and those principally are greenhouse gas emissions. So we need to, again, take a hard look at what we're doing in government to ensure that we're reducing our carbon footprint as best we can, and then look to various policies that we might enact or adopt that will help bend the curve on what we've seen as increasing greenhouse gas emissions that are eroding our climate.
Well, so very interesting. So I can imagine you would understand why I'm surprised to an extent that you would identify greenhouse gas emissions as a concern, because this may be my own bias showing up here. And if it is, I'm happy to know about it. So my bias is that Republicans, conservatives in general, tend to dismiss greenhouse gas as a concern. So would you say that's a fair view, or am I missing something significant?
Well, I think gone are the days when Republicans still believe that the earth is flat. And I have since matured beyond that for sure. Never did believe that the earth was flat. But I was a kid who traveled around the country with my parents. We moved a fair amount. I lived in Alaska. I lived very close, frankly, to the Mendenhall Glacier in Alaska, and had the opportunity, after living there as a kid going to fifth and sixth grade, and then going back as a young adult, newly married, to observe the recession that was very evident in Mendenhall. And certainly those of us who have had the chance to see Glacier Bay and travel around and see these beautiful vistas, you realize that there is impact, and climate change is real. And, you know, it doesn't take a scientist to understand that our earth is warming, and we need to recognize that the science is real. And we as humans need to do something to restrict the degradation of our environment, including certainly the global warming that we're experiencing. So the long and short of it is I'm a Republican, but that doesn't mean I don't have common sense and don't believe in science, as a guy who grew up with a medical physician father. So science was big in our household.
Yeah, well, very interesting. And of course, demographically, we can look at opinions across the spectrum. And you're highlighting something that a lot of people don't see, and that is a very significant number of folks who would self-identify as conservatives do have concerns about the future of the climate. So that's very interesting to hear you articulate that. So one of the things that comes up around taking steps towards greenhouse gas is, what are the steps? So if possible, just speaking more locally here, what do you see as some steps that we could take here in Pierce County to address greenhouse gas emissions?
Well, you know, I don't want to speak as an expert or one who has any particularly unique ideas, but I think that the four or five major areas that Pierce County and its draft 2030 sustainability plan are ones that I certainly would seek to pursue. And we know that reducing greenhouse gas emissions are principally found in efforts in energy and the built environment, transportation, consumption and waste management, carbon sequestration, and certainly we can do better with education and outreach for all of our residents to ensure that they understand the magnitude of the issue and what their role is and how they can help play a role in all of those things. So those are the four major areas that I understand the county is pursuing as part of its sustainability plan, and I would support those.
How about, so one of the things that comes up when we talk about taking steps around climate change or any other concern like COVID, for example, or there's a stress between individual freedom mm-hmm. and what's good for the larger community. So a simple example would be mask wearing. Some folks object to wearing masks during this COVID thing because they feel it's an infringement on their individual freedom. And at the same time, the science tells us that we're probably better off as a group if we do wear masks. So when it comes to addressing climate change, how do you think that dynamic would play out from your perspective, the dynamic between individual freedom and taking care of the community?
Well, I think it starts with education. The more that we can educate our residents and educate the policymakers, frankly, with the scientific data and the evidence that's fairly readily available, the more we can educate, the better we're all going to be. Because, you know, there were probably, taking your example of the COVID issue, we have to rely on science to help guide us in that endeavor. It's the same thing overall with vaccinations. There is a component of our population that, for whatever reason, whether it's a COVID vaccination or a measles, mumps, rubella vaccination, have concerns about it for whatever reason. But through good education and very evident science, we know that vaccinations work and have served over the course of time to reduce the incidence of all sorts of disease in our society. And especially, it's especially helpful to make sure that the impacts of things like COVID-19 are minimized in our populations of color, because we see a disproportionate impact there. So we all have to do better. And it starts with understanding and respecting science and data and helping to educate folks in a meaningful way how they play a part, whether it's COVID, mask wearing, social distancing, or whether it's helping reduce greenhouse gas emissions in our personal lives and our businesses.
So just getting political here for a second, how do you feel that that message is received by your Republican colleagues, or let's say the typical Republican voter in the district?
Well, you're describing two different categories of people. One, my Republican colleagues and friends, and two, the average Republican voter in the district. They may not necessarily be in the same Venn diagram, but they certainly interrelate. I think many folks that I work with and associate with are bright people, and I'm not saying that all Republicans aren't bright, but people are people, and they have their own prejudices and concerns. And again, I think it's just a matter of education. So, you know, most of the Republicans that I know are very smart people, and certainly some of them believe in individual liberty to a great extent and don't like unelected bodies or even elected bodies telling them how to manage their lives if the data is questionable. Sometimes the data isn't questionable and they still don't like it. People telling them how to manage their life. And I get that.
Yep, I get that one too. It's I think there's some expression in law about if the facts are against you, argue the law. If the law's against you, argue the facts.
Right.
If they're both against you, scream and shout.
So, right, right, exactly.
Something like that. So it's a little bit like that. If it's always a go-to position for people all over the spectrum to attack data if the data is telling them something that they don't want to hear. So that's just human nature, and
right,
not a lot to be done about that. Although I believe the thing you're highlighting, education, mm-hmm, well done education, not in your face education, but well done education certainly makes a difference. So
I try to say, John, that we all have a right to our own opinion, but we shouldn't have a right to our own individual set of facts. Right?
Yeah.
The facts should be the facts.
Absolutely. And in that regard, I would say that it's the people who do the work that by the work, I'm talking about the research and the publishing of papers and so on. They're the folks that we turn to rather than let's call them pundits who've got an axe to grind and are just interpreting things the way they want to.
Right.
So last fall, the Pierce County Council considered the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency's clean fuel standard, and they voted not to support or endorse that standard. I assume you're familiar with that process and that a vote, and I'm just curious, how would you have voted if you'd been on the board at the time that was considered?
Well, my vote would have mirrored the majority on the county council at the time. I think that the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency, while it had authority and does have authority under the Washington Clean Air Act to enforce the Clean Air Act in King, Snohomish, Kitsap, and Pierce counties, the challenge here is they came out and pronounced from on high a particular standard without really having elected representation involved. You had an appointed agency, and they're trying to legislate through agency action that which the legislature failed to do on bills to reduce greenhouse gas emissions back in 2019 with regard to transportation fuels. So the unilateral rollout of a regional low carbon fuel standard proposal to me wasn't well thought out. And from Pierce County's perspective, if you looked at the information that they provided with regard to the impacts in the four county region, Pierce County was disproportionately impacted by that fuel standard. And that was one of the reasons it was not well taken here in Pierce County by the county council.
So could I interpret from that if the clean fuel standard was well thought out, equitable, and it originated, for instance, in the state legislature, that you would support that?
Much better, yes. Well, yeah. That's why we have elected representatives. They are in charge of having hearings, receiving testimony, chewing on the issues, having some robust debate, and providing, you know, their best effort at good legislation that makes good sense for the region and the state, frankly, statewide.
Yep.
Standard.
Yep. Understood. And I'd say a good coherent response. It does bother me as a person concerned about the climate that we're the only jurisdiction on the West Coast of North America that doesn't have a clean fuel standard. So personally, I'm looking forward to it, but I understand the points you raise, and I got to say they're good and thoughtful points. So thank you for that.
Don't you think, John, part of it might be an education issue because, you know, the citizens of the state of Washington voted down the, certain carbon taxing legislation, both in, I think, in 2016 and 2018. So here we are, the great evergreen state, and we can't get something that passes muster for the majority of the residents in the state of Washington. So we either have to do a better job of educating or work on the problem a little bit more thoroughly and come up with some solutions that make sense for the majority.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it does seem to be kind of ironic that generally speaking, in the state of Washington, we are environmentally concerned. And why not? I mean, we live in this incredibly beautiful place and we want to preserve it to the extent we can. And yet we've been politically unsuccessful in addressing that. And my worry sometimes is that folks that push those kind of things are discouraged. And I guess we just need to keep pressing on in that regard. So lots and lots of things to talk about here. Let's just get practical for a second. Mm-hmm. If climate change progresses the way it appears that it's going to be, wildfires are going to become more of an issue here in Washington State. And of course, historically, we've thought of wildfires taking place east of the mountains, and indications are that's going to change. So in your opinion, is Pierce County ready to deal with the threat of more wildfires?
You know, that's a great question, and I'll be the first to admit that I don't have a good answer for that. It's not something that I have dug into very thoroughly. You know, this year we had some devastating fires that broke out on the west side of the mountains in the Sumner area and here in Pierce County. And I don't, to be honest, know the exact reasons why those fires took off, whether it was problems with forest management, whether it was just a haphazard, unfortunate incident that sparked those fires, or whether it truly was promulgated by an excessively dry summer and the combination of issues that we hear about with regard to climate change in other areas of the country. Eastern Washington certainly has had some issues, as has California. I mean, California truly is an issue, I think, of climate change creating a very, very dry climate with very little precipitation, and it's just a tinderbox.
Yep, I grew up down in Southern Oregon. In fact, when I was in high school, I earned some extra income fighting fires, and this is ancient history, of course, but folks that haven't been around those wildfires in a personal kind of way don't have any sense of how devastating they are and how brutal they are to fight fires. We see pictures of the firefighters doing their work, but without any understanding of what it's like to hump up and down steep environments and breathe smoke and be at risk of getting caught by the fires yourself. So we really do need to be prepared to deal with those fires as well as we can. And as things get drier, we can expect more of them. So I appreciate your straightforward answer to my question. And I also appreciate the obvious interest you show in the topic. And it will be interesting to see how proactive the county is in getting ready for this stuff. You know, as a species, we tend to prefer to deal with messes rather than to avoid the messes in the first place. So this would be an opportunity for the county to show that they're not like that.
Well, that's a great point. And, you know, we do a fair amount of decent work in Pierce County. The Pierce Conservation District that Ryan Mello chair is the executive on, and other folks that do good work. I mean, we're really trying to expand agricultural lands and preserve lands for the benefit of the county. I think that will have a helpful impact on our riparian streams and preserving some of those open spaces so that we can manage the lands better and hopefully reduce the incidence of the horrible forest fires that have been Eastern Washington's bane for some time now.
Yeah, for sure. So that kind of brings up another subject that's definitely related to all of this. As North America, let's say, experiences climate change, we're actually pretty fortunate in the Pacific Northwest that we're probably not going to be as impacted as some other regions like the Southwest in terms of heat events, or the Midwest in terms of floods, tornadoes, hurricanes down the Southeast, and so on. And one of the things I'm thinking is that over time, the Pacific Northwest, including Pierce County, of course, may become a favored destination for folks who are trying to avoid that kind of thing. And that interprets into growth, population growth. So what are some of your thoughts about how we accommodate an increasing population in Pierce County, and especially in terms of preserving those green spaces you referred to?
Excellent question. And if I could take just a brief step back and provide some context for your very good question, I think it would be helpful for the listeners. Washington has the 8th fastest growth rate in the United States. The Puget Sound Regional Council has provided new growth projections as part of their Vision 2050 planning regional growth plan that I've been a part of as a member of the Pierce County Regional Council, which does its own planning work in conjunction with the Puget Sound Regional Council. The long and short of it is the Puget Sound Regional Council projects 1.8 million more residents by 2040. Pierce County is expected to take about 21% of that total, or about 265,000 new residents. And whether it's due to popularity or job opportunities, you know, who knows? But that's a big chunk of population that's going to be spread between the, you know, core cities like Tacoma and then Lakewood, University of Place, Puyallup, Auburn, and then the high capacity transit communities like the Mid-County area, Parkland, Spanaway, and South Hill. So we're going to have to address that growth in a couple of ways. Certainly, housing is one issue that we're going to have to address and make sure we've got more and adequate housing, including affordable housing. But we also have to make sure that we've got good transit to take folks from where they want to live to where they work. And that is the impact I see for Pierce County in addressing climate issues. The more cars that we can keep off the roads, the better. The less commute time that people have to suffer or endure to get to employment of their choice, the better. And right now we export, before COVID, over 100,000 residents a day that go north of the county line in an automobile or a bus or hopefully some of our transit facilities to jobs in King County. And if we can do a better job of achieving a jobs housing balance south of the King County line here in Pierce County, that's going to help us manage growth here. And we're going to, as a county, have to do a better job of ensuring that we've got good zoning in place and density in place along urban corridors where there are existing transportation infrastructure to ensure that the population just doesn't go spread out into the rural areas of the county, because that's not going to help anyone. We need to ensure that our planning policies keeps the population more in the urban centers, again, along transportation corridors. So it's a regional challenge, but we know that the challenge is facing us because the population density, as you've indicated, is coming, and the numbers bear that out.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of folks in Pierce County, if they could figure out a way of earning a living without having to commute up I-5 and back, they would be very happy to have that. Just as an aside, I did some post-career consulting with Boeing, and I was in their facility up in Renton, and I was taking the Sounder back and forth most days, which was a great way to get back and forth. Very popular. Of course, it only works for some people, but if we have decent mass transit, people are going to take it. I mean, most of the people that were on the Sounder were there for their own comfort and convenience. They could get back and forth at a low cost, and they could do their email or get ready for their business day or whatever on the train. So having a more effective transit system just addresses so many things. So I'm happy to hear your thoughts on that. You referred to the 2030 sustainability plan, and my recollection is that your comments were at least towards the positive about that plan. So is that a correct recollection on my part? And anything else you care to comment about that sustainability plan?
You know, from what I've read of it, it seems very comprehensive, and it certainly addresses the four major components with regard to greenhouse gas emissions. And I was surprised when I read it to learn that energy in the built environment is one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions. The energy and built environment sector represents 55% of our Pierce County greenhouse gas emissions, whereas transportation is second. I was surprised to see that. But the sustainability plan addresses that, the energy and built environment issues, as well as transportation. and as well as consumption waste management. And so I'm hopeful that a lot of good work, it looks to me, has gone into this plan, and they have some very specific action steps and goals that I think are measurable, and that's a good thing. It will be up to the county council ultimately to pass this and adopt it, and then put the resources into it to monitor it. And I know that there's been some consternation about whether there's been adequate staffing to do justice to environmental concerns in Pierce County. So we'll have to make sure we take a look at that as a county council and adequately fund it. We got to put our money where our mouth is. If we think this is important, you can't just have a plan and put it on a shelf. You have to have a plan that's implemented.
Yeah, there's a quote that says something like, the least effective policy is one that's never implemented. And of course, as you say, they do have to be adequately funded. One of the phenomenon I see going on sometimes is that people will complain about government not accomplishing something, and at the same time, they've squeezed them so hard they didn't have the resources to do it. So definitely an important point. And in terms of the sustainability plan and the built environment, as that plays out in the overall picture, once again, interesting to have the data. I had believed for a long time, too, that transportation was the number one issue here, but right, nothing beats some data so that we know that when we're attacking a problem, we're attacking it as thoughtfully as we possibly can. Related to this, I think, is I drive an electric vehicle. I love it, by the way. One of the things that I see is that there are a lot of multifamily dwellings that really just don't work for an electric vehicle. Even this new development down on Ruston Way, I was walking by there the other day, and I saw a guy that had an extension cord coming out off the deck of his second story apartment down to his car, which was parked out front, which is not a long-term viable solution. So, looking ahead at new construction in particular, do you see any steps that the county could take that would make electrifying our transportation more possible for folks living in multifamily?
Absolutely. I think we can work to incentivize or even look at what we have for permit fees. We might be able to provide some waivers. We've talked a little bit about how to incentivize more affordable housing, and some of the permit waivers might be applicable, but you might even be able to enhance that by ensuring that developers include charging stations appropriate to the multifamily dwelling and the number of units that they plan to build. I do see some of the retrofitting happening in some of the older buildings. For example, in downtown Tacoma, where my law office is on 7th and Market Street in the Roberson Building, many residents have elected to buy electric vehicles and have come together as a homeowners group to install and retrofit charging stations. And that's been very effective for folks. So I'm glad to see that. In the new multifamily dwellings, one of my clients who built a 30-unit apartment facility here in Lakewood ensured that they had a charging station put in. I think they may even have two. And, you know, those steps are taking place. I think the market is recognizing that more and more astute owners want to be good stewards of the environment as well. And folks are buying electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles, like you mentioned. I myself have a hybrid, a plug-in hybrid. I have a little mini Countryman that has a plug-in hybrid, and I plug it in my garage every night, and I'm able to go. Unfortunately, it only has about 19 miles per charge before it kicks in, but I can get to my office and almost back, you know, and charge it in. So that's been pretty fun to have. But I think to answer your question, yes, the county government can and should look at this as a way of incentivizing prudent electrification of the transportation grid by incentivizing construction of charging stations and new development. And our utility providers, we can help with those folks as well. We should be able to, I mean, if we can get energy credits or credits for putting in a new hot water heater or electric heat pump, there should be a way to get some incentives to install charging stations, retrofit them in homes as well.
Yeah, so just in reference to our utility, which primarily as Tacoma Public Utilities. I don't know, does TPU provide electricity down in your district?
Yes. In fact, I think in my house here in Lakewood, we have Tacoma Power. It's kind of a funky thing with utilities, but we have Puget Sound Energy for gas, Tacoma Power for electricity, Lakewood Water for water, and of course, Pierce County for sewer. So we're not a full service city, so we enjoy having all these other providers and partners come and provide services here in Lakewood.
Yeah, well, of course, one of the blessings of Tacoma Power is that it's 97% hydropower, so very clean. And just an odd technicality, we really would be 100%. There's some contractual obligations that require TPU to buy some power that is fossil fuel generated. But this is just under the general heading of interesting stuff, at least interesting to me. TPU actually has an excess of hydropower, and they sell it out of the state. And so if we electrified more of our transportation and some of the other stuff that you're talking about in our homes, we're really keeping revenue at home here rather than having to buy fossil fuel generated electricity from somewhere else. So the more electric vehicles we have, the more money we're keeping right here at home, which just makes kind of good economic sense, I think.
Well, we're blessed with good hydropower here in our state for sure.
Yep. And of course, not only that, but a fantastic recreational resource. I just spent a week over in Lake Cushman. What a beautiful place that is over there. So providing us with beauty, recreation, and clean electricity. Doesn't get much better than that.
Exactly.
Well, we're getting to the end here, Jason. I really appreciate your comments. You've kind of surprised me. My expectations were maybe a little different than what we had, and that's a good thing.
I need a surprise. I do. Right? Surprise and delight, as I tell my wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to remember that one. It sounds like a good approach to life. And if I could achieve that maybe 50% of the time, that'd be awesome. Anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to comment on before we finish up?
Well, I think one of the things we talked about before opening on the dial to the show is the thought and concern by many of us about the vitriolic nature and partisan nature to politics and how we can perhaps all do better in dialing down the volume and actually just listening to one another to come up with solutions that work for most. And I would be one in favor of that. You know, political campaigns are what they are, unfortunately. And so you have a little bit of this comparison stuff going on, which I don't personally like. I think to me, politics and elections should be seen as like a job interview. You know, you want to hire the best available candidate for the position you're seeking to fill. And the rest of it's a little bit of chaff. But once folks get elected, they should work very hard in creating a sense of collaboration and teamwork, because there are no good Republican ideas or good Democratic ideas. They're just good ideas, if they're that good, and they're based on good data, and they can be sellable with good education. So I'm hopeful that after this crazy election promulgated by a bunch of craziness at the national level predominantly, we can all get together as a community and do good things. And I would be one to be very interested in doing that, reaching across the aisle and working with folks.
Well, I believe a lot of other folks are happy to hear that perspective, Jason. My sense is that we've long since passed the point where most Americans are tired of the conflict. Aside from just being tired of the conflict, it's just not a good way of doing business. And so if you're elected, I'll look forward to kind of following your impact on the council, and look forward to a council, regardless of how it's made up, where the folks who are on it can reach across the aisle and we can come up with good solutions for the many challenges we're going to be facing over the next few years. So I'm going to call us finished here, Jason. Once again, I really appreciate you taking the time, and wish you well on the trail.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate you taking the time to speak with both me and Janie. I understood that she had the chance to speak with you earlier, and I wish her well as well. And look forward, as all of us do, to November 4th, which is the day after the election, and we can all return to some semblance of normalcy in our lives. So thank you again.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
So there we have it. It was a real pleasure to be able to talk to Jason Whalen, get some of his points of view. And one of the things we can see is that what we do here in Pierce County in terms of climate change does make a difference. I encourage everybody, as always, to do your homework. And in this particular case, homework is visiting the websites of the candidates for Pierce County Council, wherever you live. And in this case, in particular, District 6, visit Jenny Hitchens' website also to do your due diligence in deciding who you're going to vote for in this election coming up. And I think it's worth remembering, as we ponder these kinds of things, as we look downstream towards a changed climate and a changed environment, it's up to us to determine how changed it is and how well we manage those changes. There aren't going to be any do-overs. What we do every day, every week, every month going forward is going to make a difference, not only in our futures, but our children's and grandchildren's futures as well. So let's all do our homework. I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. So once again, I'm reminding you all, live like the mountain is out. Take care.